Torrential rain also triggered flooding in Utah and Arizona over the weekend, but it won't be anywhere near enough to solve the crisis on the Colorado River. Last week, the Interior Department announced a major step in its battle to keep the river flowing for the 40 million people who rely on it in the Southwest. For the first time, the government declared a Tier 2 shortage on the Colorado, which means that states like Arizona and Nevada will lose a significant amount of river water next year. Decades of drought and population growth have drained the country's two largest reservoirs to record lows. Lake Powell and Lake Mead are just about a quarter full. To understand the crisis, I went to see it for myself. Back in May, I drove to Lake Powell on the Arizona-Utah border and met a man named Ken Runnels, who showed me just how far the water has fallen.
I would say since 2018, it's lost 70 feet.
Is it kind of shocking for you to see that?
Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
Runnels runs the Antelope Point Marina, where golf carts rumble around a floating dock full of million-dollar houseboats. Runnels says he's watched the lake drop about a foot every week. It's hard to understand what that means until you look up at the canyon walls that surround the marina. There's a ramp that used to connect the docks to land. It's dangling above us like a plank on a pirate ship.
It's a cliff. It drops off 50 feet off a cliff.
All this means that getting down to the water is getting more difficult. Last year, Runnels says 7,000 boats launched here from the shore. This year, the water is so low, there won't be any. There's more to see, so we jump into a boat and motor to a nearby public boat launch that's all but closed. Only the bravest kayakers can still use it. They have to scamper down a hillside to get to the water, dragging their kayaks behind them.
It's pretty steep.
Where that truck is up there on the top of the hill, that basically used to be where the water was?
The water was above that. That closed in October of 2020.
Oh, look, and there's somebody coming down right now.
Yeah. So they got to walk that little goat path all the way down.
We're laughing, but, you know, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. At least, at the very least, it's a big shift of culture on the lake, don't you think?
Yeah, that's a big shift in culture, and it's actually not very safe what they're doing there.
It's not just unsafe. The drought is bad for business. Runnels is worried about canceled houseboat reservations. The local economy depends on this lake. But as we crank the engine and move down the canyon, it's hard not to think about the bigger picture. 40 million people in the West rely on the Colorado River and its reservoirs to survive. Climate change is drying them out. It's sapping the river of its power, while cities and farms drink from the same tap with unslakable thirst. Soon, Runnels has to let off the throttle. We've reached the end of the lake, and we are face to face with a towering concrete wall. What's happening inside the Glen Canyon Dam is a symbol of the mounting crisis.
Dam.
The next day, I'm on a dam elevator with Bob Martin. We're descending below the waterline hundreds of feet to the bottom. It's cold down here.
And it stays this temperature year-round in here because of the water.
Martin is deputy power manager for the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, the agency responsible for managing water and electricity on the river.
So now we're going into the powerhouse. This is where the generators are at, where the money is made.
Martin shows me a row of huge yellow generators. Below them, water from Lake Powell is spinning turbines to make electricity.
This is clean power. The emissions we're producing are water that goes to the Southwest.
But with drought, there is less water to do the work. Already the dam is generating less electricity than it could be, and if the reservoir drops another 40 feet or so, it'll reach a level called minimum power pool. At that point, the turbines cannot spin at all.
We are as close to that minimum power pool as we have ever been.
What do you think about that?
Not a good thing. Pretty scary. You know, I've been in hydropower for a long time, and our mission has been to keep these units running. That's a pretty sobering thought.
These just turning off.
These just turning off in a powerhouse being quiet. It'd be heartbreaking to hear this place quiet.
And potentially devastating to anyone who needs that power to turn the lights on.
That's a big deal. That's a significant amount of power.
Srinivasa Venigala works for the Navajo Tribal Utility Authority. The tribe gets nearly half of its electricity from the Colorado River. Like other utilities across the West, Venigala is preparing for a future with less hydropower. He says as the water drops at Lake Powell, the Navajo Nation will have to use more expensive and dirtier forms of electricity. That's something his 43,000 customers cannot afford.
It's going to be everybody in the Southwest is going to be impacted. Everyone has to bear the burden, in my opinion, if we can't produce any hydroelectricity from the dams on Colorado River.
And that burden is about to get even heavier. By declaring a Tier 2 shortage on the river last week, federal water managers made it official. Next year, Arizona will lose 21% of its annual share of the river. Some farms in the state won't get a drop. The sacrifice should be enough to keep the turbines spinning for a while longer. Back at the bottom of the Glen Canyon Dam, Bob Martin takes me outside to the transformer deck with a view that would either make you praise God or an engineer. Behind us, the concrete dam soars toward the sky. In front of us, the Colorado River resumes its journey downstream, carving out the blood-red sandstone walls of Glen Canyon.
And that hum you hear is the electricity that's on the overhead lines that's going out to close to 6 million people throughout the West. Pretty impressive.
So now we can really hear the final product here.
You can really hear the final product.
Martin says the government's plan to keep those power lines buzzing should be enough to get through the year. But after that, it's impossible to know.
It's to the point now where people can't ignore this. You've got to pay attention.
And use what we do have wisely, he says. At this point, it is the only thing we can control.